Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Gina Lynn Smith, President of Franchise Services for Value Place Franchise Opportunity. Founded in 2002, Value Place is an economy-extended day lodging and short-term residential property brand that features remarkably affordable weekly rates, rigorous cleanliness standards, secure temporary lodging with unparalleled commitment to the comfort, privacy, peace of mind of each guest. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. Stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only publication that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
I'm fine, Marty, this week. How about you?
Good, hanging in. I guess, is it too early to say happy holidays? Or probably next week would be more appropriate, I guess, right?
No, we say it now.
We do. Okay, once December starts?
Yeah, I always think after Thanksgiving is when
that's true.
Kind of officially the holiday season comes in. Now the stores start advertising and promoting earlier, so it just kind of feels like
it comes
the holiday
earlier. It does. It comes earlier every year, doesn't it? It's just,
right, yeah.
You know, all the commercials and everything like that. But, but December's a fun month. I'm looking, we got some great shows scheduled as well. Our last show, Don, we celebrated our 150th radio show, 3 years of being on the air. It's just a big milestone for us last week. You know, it was nice to do the show before Thanksgiving as well, you know.
Right.
And, we met with Nancy Weingartner, who is the executive editor of Franchise Times Magazine, and she was telling us about her trip to Kenya, which I thought was fantastic. We also met with Dr. John P. Hayes, and since 1979, Dr. Hayes has worked in the franchise community as a consultant, franchisee, and franchisor. Thought just an appropriate guest to have for that show. What were your thoughts on last week?
Yeah, well, first, it's always fun having Nancy on, and it's exciting hearing about what's coming up in the next issue. And, you know, we look forward to in a few weeks hearing what else is going on at Franchise Times. And, yeah, Dr. Hayes, it was, you're right, just a perfect type of guest to come on with his background and his resume and all the stuff he's done and the people he knows. And, he just gave great advice. The whole hour went quickly.
Yeah.
We could have talked to him another 2 hours in all the different things we wanted to go over in franchising. I liked one of his quotes, because that's something, that we've been putting together, great quotes in franchising.
Mm-hmm.
I like the one he said, don't buy the hot franchise.
Yeah.
It is the fastest way to get burned.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
it's so true, you know. I mean, how many times have we received that question? You know, people say to us, well, what's hot right now? You know, what should I be looking at? And, I mean, it was a very powerful quote, you know, and that's definitely going to have to go into our great quotes in franchising podcast because it's so true. You know, I mean, there's dozens of examples of that, by the way. I think the one that he might have referenced, the one, and this is going back to 2005 when I saw him speak for the first time, he was talking about the bagel industry, you know, or, you know, just how hot, that was a hot industry at one time, you know, and then it kind of like faded away a bit, you know. Which is very fashionable to go into that type of franchise. And I think yogurt was another big one, too.
Yeah.
You know, at one time, everyone was looking to get into that. And, so you have your ups and downs, you know, your peaks and valleys. And he's very blunt, too, when he talks about franchising. He says, he'll go as far as saying that, you know what, franchising is not for everyone. In fact, it's probably not for most people. And here's the reason why. Because you have to follow a system. He said, franchisees are not entrepreneurs. And, you know, I think some people might get upset when they hear that. They're like, wait a minute, I'm taking a chance here. You know, I'm putting up, you know, 200 grand, and you're telling me I'm not an entrepreneur, you know, have the entrepreneurial spirit. I understand what he's saying. You know, is the person who created the franchise is, as Michael Gerber would say, the true entrepreneur. You're following his system. You know, you're following that recipe. And, you're not reinventing the wheel, you know. So he makes an excellent point when he says that.
I think that someone does have some entrepreneurship in them
because
they're going out and finding the franchise. Sometimes people own multiple franchises. I think that person is, you know, is an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not a true entrepreneur who's actually
like the franchisor, right?
Yeah,
right. He's not the guy who actually created
the system,
the system, you know what I mean? You're just following the system. So I think, you know, there's different levels of entrepreneurship. You know, it's always a great debate, I think, you know, but,
And he also, Dr. Hayes, I think he wrote one of the first books in franchising, Franchising the Inside Story. I think he was one of the first to put together a book about the industry.
Yeah, and that book is still floating around. You know, it was interesting how he tells the story of how he actually got into it. I think it was more by accident, you know. I don't think this was in his plan. You know, if you asked him 30 years ago, he said, you know, what do you think you'll be doing?
Right.
You know, and he's a big believer in franchising, you know. And, and he says, you know what, there's some good ones out there, and there's some not so good ones, you know. So he's very blunt about that. He talked about his relationship with the Dwyer Group, and you're right. I mean, we could have really had a two-hour show. I mean, we couldn't even You know, I guess I don't know if our listeners notice or they pay attention, but we couldn't even go to commercial because he just was giving so much great information.
Right.
The one instance where he said, you know what, no commercial break. You know, he's saying something great, and, you know, let's sacrifice here and, you know, let our listeners hear what he has to say, you know. So just incredible. So I'd love to have him back in, you know, 2010 again, you know, and just finish the conversation because I think there's some more to be said, you know. And again, if you ever want to see him speak, go to the IFA convention. I don't know if you ever saw him speak, Don, but I, you know, I told you when I saw him speak in 2005, I said, "Oh my God!" I said, "He's saying everything, you know, that our listeners should be hearing, you know." So and
he
you had
some nice things to say about him, yeah.
Right, 2 hours straight through, you know, no break. Yeah. I mean, he just goes right through, and you know, no one leaves that room. They just listen to everything he has to say. He's just got great presentation skills as well. So
a lot of Michael Gerber in him.
Yeah, he really does. You know, he's just. You know, so just a great way to celebrate, you know, our third year anniversary. And, God, before you know it, the fourth one will be here, you know. I mean, it's just,
yeah, it feels like we're married. It kind of feels like we're married with all this anniversary talk.
Well, it'll be 200 shows. Could you, that'll be our next one. We'll hit the 200 mark. And who could have ever imagined, you know, it's 150 hours of shows, you know, for our listeners. And, just incredible. So, but I know you had some interesting, what do we have going on today? I think we'll talk about that first and then we'll go into, I know you had some interesting topics I wanted to discuss.
Yeah, well, today we're having Gina Lynn Smith,
mm-hmm.
president of Franchise Services for Value Place.
That's great, isn't it? I mean, that's definitely something new for our category. You know, sometimes
we've never had this.
Yeah,
you got about
160 had it all, we haven't, you know, so I'm looking forward to speaking to Gina today.
They have about 160 locations around the country, so they're pretty big.
Absolutely.
And then you mentioned we had a pretty interesting show for next week.
We do. And the name kind of slips my – I think it's – I'm pretty sure it's like a yogurt type of franchise. I'm going to have to go into our –
Good. I think that might be –
it is. Yeah, I think it was called Menchie's. I'm gonna, I'll get the name for you while I'm while you're talking about some articles.
Okay. Well, this is something Marty threw, Global BX, franchise versus starting a new business. When it comes to the decision to open a franchise versus starting your own business, many people choose the latter. They like the idea of building their own business up from the ground and earning recognition on their own. However, they do not realize that you can earn just as much recognition when owning a franchise as well. In fact, the rewards far outweigh the benefits, providing that you choose the right franchise to open. So they brought up about 8 points that clearly define why opening a franchise should ultimately be your first choice.
Mm-hmm.
First one is a recognized brand and relevant trademarks. If you open a franchise, then you will be doing so under a recognized brand name, thus establishing brand awareness right from the start. This will undoubtedly tempt people through the door because name recognition will attract new customers. So that's obvious, the brand
recognition.
Yeah,
that's true. Absolutely. I mean, even our show today, I mean, with Value Place, you know, I mean, some of the names, I mean, you'd recognize right away, Residence Inn, Summerfield Suites. You know, I mean,
right.
The places that you just recognize, you know, and I think when it comes to lodging, I think that's important, you know, is that there's a recognized name. So I think that's a great example. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's going to be consistency.
Right.
And in the case of Value Place we're having on today, you know, it's going to be clean. You know, it's going to be the same thing every time you go. I mean, that's what you're paying for.
And that's what you want. Right. Exactly.
The next thing, number two, an established market presence. An established market presence is crucial. You want a chance to make a profit from year one. If you open a franchise that is a market leader in its own right, then this will automatically benefit you because the business will be synonymous with a certain service and stay in customers' minds, kind of what we were just talking about. Three, a history in the field. If you own a franchise with an established company, then you also get the benefits of established processes and systems that have evolved over time. So you get the full benefit of the experience of others. So the history is important. Four, comprehensive training, one of the most important things. If you open up a non-franchise business, then you kind of learn as you go, meaning that you'll probably make avoidable mistakes. You open a franchise with the training, everything you need to know will enable you to avoid those mistakes. So that's crucial. Number five, Marty, a higher success rate and lower risk. I mean, that's obvious with franchising. Your chance of success is much higher,
right,
which means you have lower risk.
And all of these, you know, if I think Dr. Hayes was on the phone with us right now, he'd probably say, you know, this is all true, you know, except, again, you have to be able to follow that system. If you don't, if you can't follow that system or that recipe, it could be a disaster too, you know. So I think that's a good point to kind of mention as like a little asterisk.
As well as make sure you're choosing the right system.
Exactly. I mean, that could be a disaster too, right? I mean, getting into the wrong system. Well, you know, I think you and I would probably both agree that McDonald's is probably one of the best franchises on the planet, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how would you enjoy running that, Don? You know, I mean, if you had one, I mean, would you like
right.
it? You know, I don't think I would enjoy it so much. I mean, even though you're probably going to make $1 million a year plus, I don't know if I would enjoy so much working in that type of franchise.
Right. Next one, Marty, pre-established supply lines and major purchasing power.
Mm.
You're part of a larger company. You have access to suppliers that are reliable and trustworthy, as well as getting a better price. 7, lower unforeseen costs. I mean, that's crucial. Starting your own business can cost you thousands in unforeseen costs, but when opening a franchise, you know exactly how much you will have to put into it. This is a result of full fee disclosure. The last thing, easier to start up. Many franchises want their franchisees to get into business quickly and will do everything they can to facilitate that. As such, you can own a franchise that is open for business within weeks instead of the months it should, for you to open your business.
That's
so
true. There are examples of that, you know, where, you could get into it right away, especially
right.
if location's not a big thing. I mean, we've had a lot of franchises where you do right from your home. Isn't that true? I mean,
right.
I would agree with that. So, yeah, I mean, I think the article makes a lot of, you know, great points. But I think
yes.
it should always be prefaced with, you know, as you said, getting into the right franchise system, you know, because there's just so many out there to choose from.
Right.
You know, not buying a Dunkin' Donuts because you like the coffee, something that fits your lifestyle.
Right.
And, just being able to follow that system, and you're not looking to reinvent somebody else's creation. That's not what they're looking for.
Right. And
so
we've had franchisees in the past who've told us on the show that's exactly what they wanted to do. They didn't want to have to deal with all this stuff because it's already there when you buy
yeah.
a franchise. They just wanted to come in and just be trained, follow
mm-hmm.
the system.
It's interesting you say that, Doug, because I don't know. I was listening to our great quotes in franchising podcast. As you know, I do a lot of grading and things like that, being an online professor, so I can listen to our shows and go back and, you know, but listening to the podcast, I don't know if you remember, there was a great, great quote from a Liberty Tax franchisee saying, the guy realized, he took an assessment of his life, and he says, I'm not a creative person, you know, I just want to be able to give me a system, and I'll execute it for you. That was his strength, you know, and most successful franchisee to Liberty Tax, and you say, why is he the most successful franchisee? Well, because he's not creative, and, you know, he can follow a system, you know. So, and again,
right.
I'm not to say that franchisees can't be creative, but they can't recreate, you know, that whole thing.
Right.
Good learning.
There's been a lot of franchisees over time who gave the franchisor some new ideas,
mm-hmm.
which then were utilized.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, here's the show for next week, too, Don, just so you know. It's Menchie's is the brainchild of was Dana and Adam, whose passion and love for creating the perfect frozen yogurt quickly transformed into the ultimate Froyo lover's paradise. Other ice cream and frozen yogurt stores offer a limited amount of choices and charge customers for every flavor or topping they ordered. So that's next week's show, just so you know. They're called Menchie's. Have you ever heard of them before?
No, I haven't.
It's interesting, then. You know, I mean, it's once again, I mean, it's having these franchises on the show, you know, that we may not always be familiar with.
Right.
Some new
good.
Content.
We look forward to that. Next, Marty, franchisors look north from the Financial Post. Canada's a good place to do business. U.S. franchise corporations have always eyed Canada for expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Its geography, proximity, and similar language and culture make it a natural fit. But going north of the border wasn't always a top priority.
Interesting.
And it goes on. You know it's on their list somewhere after Wyoming, Alaska, Canada, says Larry Weinberger, Toronto franchise lawyer who recently co-chaired the American Bar Association's annual forum on franchising in Toronto.
Right.
A trend appears to be emerging among U.S.-based franchisors to target the Canadian market first for international expansion.
Mm-hmm.
A slow to recover U.S. economy combined with Canada's relative strength during the recession seems to be luring franchise operators to Canada. Now they're thinking differently, Mr. Weinberg says. I think the word is getting out that Canada is a good place to do business. Several U.S. franchise companies have either begun testing the Canadian market or rolled out aggressive expansion plans in recent weeks and months. The Melting Pot, a Tampa-based fondue restaurant franchisor, has eyed Canada for international expansion for years. We felt it was a logical starting point, perhaps a safer starting point for international expansion, says
uh-huh.
Dan Stone, director of franchise development for the Melting Pot.
Right.
Who we had on the show in the past, right? Did we ever have them on?
You got me. I used to be able to recite the shows like in order, you know, from first show to present moment. I can't do it anymore, so I
know I've helped them with financing a little bit, but
okay,
not
yeah,
sure.
It's possible. I'll have to go back in the archive
yeah.
and see if we had them on the show.
It goes on. Some people would say that the worst time to be doing something like that, he says, but my background was in the financial world, and I saw the world wasn't going to end. Mr. Stone says the Melting Pot, which caters to group celebrations such as anniversaries, birthdays, and other special or corporate occasions,
mm-hmm.
they have plans to open about 15 restaurants in eastern Canada.
Wow.
Melting Pot is one of several U.S. franchise brands with aggressive expansion plans for Canada. Dairy Queen and Little Caesars
mm-hmm.
Are looking at Canada. Buffalo Wild Wings is looking forward to doing some business up there. PuroClean, a U.S. property disaster restoration firm, is already experiencing rapid growth as it expands into the Canadian market. So, you know, pretty interesting. Our neighbors to the north. Which,
yeah, no, it is interesting. I mean, do you have any experience? Have you done any financing up there or anything like that? For
No, he's just never done financing.
Yeah, I believe that the laws are a little different up in Canada as far as franchising goes. I don't know if they're significantly different. I can't imagine, but, you know, we could always find out about that, you know, as well.
Right.
But pretty interesting. I mean, you said Dairy Queen. Yeah, you wonder if ice cream is like the last thing you think of in Canada.
Right.
You know, I know it's just getting pretty cold up there right now, so kind of interesting, you know.
Yeah.
Good topic. I mean, it's a good article.
Here's something else, Marty, through Reuters. Small U.S. firms face credit squeeze as crisis drags out of San Diego. Small companies create more than half of America's jobs, but the entrepreneurs who drive this part of the economy continue to complain that access to credit 2 years into the recession remains scarce. Small business owners say banks remain extremely wary of risk and a world away from the carefree lending that inflated epic boom in housing values that went bust and pushed America to its worst economic downturn in decades. They say their home equity lines of credit have been cut, business credit lines withdrawn, and credit cards limits slashed. Still profitable firms complain of a major pullback by banks, which may warn will leave a U.S. economic recovery stillborn. It's like we've gone back 15 years in time, said Carmine Ryan, who founded Ryan Brothers Coffee in San Diego with his brothers. Main reason I'm doing this article is because the guy's name is Ryan, same name
That's
as my
I
son.
Saw it. That's what I knew you had an agenda on this one.
We have a proven track record, he says. We pay our bills early. We're profitable. But banks are so gun-shy now that no one would touch us. They're just sitting on the money. They
wow.
developed a wholesale coffee business and opened a second coffee shop earlier this year. After they opened it, they sought a loan of $120,000. They were able to get $90,000. The rest had to come up with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the way it should be right now, Harry Ryan said. Banks should be lending to people like us and not too far from them. Yiping Lai runs an online business, Heart to Heart Gifts, which sells toys and decorations. Her sales were over $1 million last year. But with the downturn, her revenue will end up about 50% lower this year. She'll still turn a profit. And she got a letter from her bank canceling her credit line at $55,000. I'm just mentioning this article. I mean, we all know how bad credit and lending has been. But it's unfortunate that, you know, things are still kind of tight with people. And myself being an SBA, it's just kind of frustrating.
Right.
Because really the SBA and, you know, I guess to a certain extent the government are not really stepping up to help small business and also SBA. An example of that, Marty, you know, with SBA, you know, lenders like to go through the government SBA program because they get a guarantee.
Right.
They can, recoup money when loans decline because the government gives a guarantee, mm-hmm. which they put up to 90%
right.
to give lenders more incentive to do the loan. And they also recently waived some of the fees associated with closing costs. But now that money ran out, and now the guarantee fee is lower, and now the closing costs have gone back to how they were, which is overall higher. You would think during these times they would keep these programs in place, not have any lacks in time, but it seems like certain things still aren't being done, which is very frustrating. And that's, we see that in this article with a couple of these business owners who are even profitable.
Well, I was saying, Muslim Matche addressing this to the IFA, it was something we were talking about last week, wasn't it? And,
yeah.
You know, it's funny, I mean, as a lot of the guests that we've had on the show, you know, whether it's Nancy or Mary Jo from Franchise Times Magazine, I think a lot, both of them have mentioned too, you know, I mean, this is like, has been the story of the year, I guess, you know, for franchising. You know, I mean, it's definitely had a very big impact on the whole
right.
franchise community, you know, from lending to franchising to everything. And but we've seen some interesting opportunities at the same time. But, yeah, it seems like, you know, there is some frustration out there as well. You know, I think it's something that we could probably even have a whole show on, too, Don. You know, which you can talk about probably towards the end of the year, like our last show.
Right.
Here, you know. So.
Well, we're going to talk about what's gone on the year in franchising, right. and we'll talk about financing.
Exactly. So why don't we take a quick break? I see Gina Lynn has called in, and we'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team
Big Mouth.
As a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnston. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Gina Lynn Smith, president of Franchise Services for the Value Place Franchise Opportunity, and founded in 2002, Value Place is an economy-extended stay lodging and short-term residential property brand that features remarkably affordable weekly rates, rigorous cleanliness standards, and secure temporary lodging with an unparalleled commitment to comfort, privacy, and peace of mind for each guest. Hey, Gina Lynn, happy holidays. How are you today?
I am wonderful, Marty. How are you?
Oh, I'm well today, Gina. Thank you. Gina, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnston, and I know Don, you want
hey,
to say good morning.
Hey, Gina Lynn, yes. Happy holidays to you.
And happy
you and
holidays
I have a...
to you also.
Thank you. I was just going to say, I think... you and I have the two most common last names in the country, right? Smith and Johnson?
No relation.
Right.
Gina, we always like to ask our guests, where are you calling from this morning?
Well, I'm actually calling from the Charlotte Airport this morning North Carolina.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. Okay, fantastic. And Gina, what were you doing before joining Value Place? I know you have an interesting background.
Well, thank you for asking. I started out in the banking industry and when I was out of college, and then I went to work for Jack DeBoer, who is also the chairman and founder of Value Place. But when I first went to work for him, it was in 1996 when I was the fifth employee of Candlewood Suites, another one of the brands that we've developed. So I spent a few years at Candlewood with Jack developing that franchise program, and then I went back into the financial services industry at A.G. Edwards and just got started there, and Jack called and said, Gina Lynn, we'd like to have you start a franchise company for us. We've tested a new concept. It's a new lodging concept, Value Place, and I just couldn't resist the opportunity to go back and work with this team again.
That's fantastic.
That's interesting. So maybe tell us a little bit about how that all started, maybe the history of Value Place.
I would love to. Our chairman, Jack DeBoer, is credited with founding the extended stay segment of the hospitality industry. And he, in the 1970s, was the second largest apartment developer in the United States and really saw a need for people to be able to stay less than the term of a regular apartment lease, but longer than you could stay at traditional hotels and afford it. So he created Residence Inn. And about 15 years later, he sold that concept to Marriott. He then developed Summerfield Suites, which has subsequently been sold to Hyatt. And then Candlewood Suites was our next brand, and that's now with Intercontinental Hotel Group. And then Value Place was actually started on the back of a napkin on July 4th of 2002. And that quickly went to a sheet of legal paper where a legal pad paper where Jack sketched out what he thought that the revenues and expenses would be of this very revolutionary product for our industry. And would you believe that to this day, it is within a few pennies of tying out from a financial standpoint from what he brainstormed back in 2002?
That's incredible. I love those stories, Gina, of just, the business plan on a napkin initially, and it just turns into this big thing. It's just a wonderful story.
Well, and of course, there's always that meeting for entrepreneurs and visionaries like Jack, where he got a bunch of professionals together, and they proceeded to tell him that this was a crazy idea, that no one could build an economy extended stay product for $40,000 a key, and they couldn't run it with 4.5 full-time equivalent people, and he once again has proven people wrong. And we're always flying in the face of what everybody else is doing right now. Hotels are busy bundling up services and you know, offering you all of these extra amenities, and we unbundled it and said, let's keep it simple, and why don't you just pay for what you want and not pay for the rest of it?
Yeah, so true. That was the thing that amazed me the most. You know, when I research you guys, is, you know, operating with, you know, as few as 4 to 4.5 full time employees. I said, how the heck do they do that? It's just incredible.
Lots of training.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, you know, right from the start, it seems like Jack wanted to franchise. Sometimes you open up a business, see how it goes a few years, and then franchise. But right from the start, Jack wanted to franchise. Is that how it worked?
Well, he knows that he likes franchising as a concept because he believes that two heads are better than one, and he also believes that it's a very efficient way to build a national system. So he has a tendency toward wanting to franchise anyway. But what he does do is he opens a product first and sees how it goes, and then he brings in the franchising side. So, for example, the first property in Wichita, Kansas, opened in 2003, and he called me in the spring of 2004, and I started the franchising company later that year. So he did go ahead and test it and tweak it a little bit, and because we want to make sure that while we can never promise someone will be financially successful, we want to do everything we can to make sure that they are, because that makes a great franchise system.
Absolutely.
Right. Interesting. So when you describe the value place franchise system to a prospect or an investor, how do you do that?
Well, I usually start out by talking about our background as a company, because I was listening to your program before I joined you, and a lot of the things that you brought up about needing to have a proven track record and have experience not only in franchising but in the industry is very important to potential investors. So I usually start by talking about Jack being the founder of Extended Stay and talk about the brands that he's created that have been so successful with Residence Inn, Summerfield Suites, and Candlewood Suites, and then talk about how some of our core team is still the same as what it has been over the years. And then I usually move into talking about the consistency of the concept, that, you know, our properties are consistent, just like with our other brands. We stand out because of how clean and safe we are. So not only are we extraordinarily affordable, but we are crazy clean and super safe, and we take a lot of precautions to set ourselves apart that way in this business. A lot of times you can find low cost, or you can find clean and safe, but you can't marry the two together very often. And that's what we've done successfully. And that really leads to talking about the training programs and how we're able to do that, the support that we give as a franchisor to help you through the development process. And you've got to build these products from the ground up. And you need to do that the right way so that you don't invest too much money. You invest just the right amount to have a quality product. So we go over those things, and of course the operating model is key for people understanding our investment and being able to look at the fact that, yes, we do operate these with 4.5, what is the equivalent of 40-hour weeks for employees. And so you may have a team of 6 or 7, but they only work the equivalent of 4.5 employees' time in a week. And that really makes the numbers work.
Oh, absolutely. Incredible. And who, as far as the franchisees go, Gina, I mean, what was their background? Like, what were they doing in their previous life before becoming a franchisee?
This is the thing that has been the most remarkable to me in this franchise brand. You know, at Candlewood Suites, our franchisees were, you know, all but one were hotel owners. And so when I started out the marketing of Value Place, then I, of course, went back to that area I knew so well, which is hospitality. And what was interesting is that the very first franchisee, while he is a hotelier, he also is involved in self-storage. And when I was interviewing him to ask him about why he had chosen Value Place, he was very clear that the reason that it made sense to him was not because he was a hotelier. It was because he was involved in self-storage. And in the self-storage business, they generally use about 2 full-time employees. And so the model made a lot of sense. So we started talking to other hotel people who, you know, are used to having for the same size property about, you know, 20 full-time employees,
right.
And they just didn't understand what we were doing. So we started targeting entrepreneurs in general, and we've ended up with a large portion of our franchisees coming from self-storage, another good segment coming from multifamily or apartments, and then another probably equally sizable group that literally come from all different backgrounds. You mentioned Liberty Tax. We have a former Liberty Tax franchisee who is a franchisee with us. We have a former senior marketing executive, a formal wear shop owner, auto dealers, you know, bankers, which is interesting. They'll get our financial information to look at originating a loan, and then after they do the loan, then they'll call us and want to be a franchisee.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And that's always a good sign, too, Gene, when you have an accountant or a banker, you know, they understand the whole financial system. They say, I want in.
That's exactly right. So we've been very blessed in that regard. And you know what I love about that is that we have the most diverse group of franchisees that you could imagine. And that has paid major dividends to us as far as the ideas. Everybody's frame of reference is very different, which leads to some interesting conversations sometimes. But, you know, it's very healthy and a very good open dialogue with the franchisees. And now that we have 161 properties open from coast to coast as of yesterday, hoteliers are really taking notice of our concept. And now we have lots of hotel people who are calling and interested in the Value Place concept.
Fantastic. And those, I mean, those diverse backgrounds, I think, really help too, Gina, with like sharing best practices, you know, I guess when you guys have your meetings and things like that, you know, it's just,
yeah.
So I think that's fascinating. What role has technology played in your business? Has it played a big role or little role? Or?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We take kind of a moderate approach on technology. We don't want to be the industry innovators. But we also want to maximize the efficiencies that you can gain through using the right technology. So, for example, our property management system, hotel owners are always very surprised at how little our system costs. Well, it's because it's a system that's used in many, many other extended stay hotels, and so we didn't feel the need to create our own. However, when you look at web technology, we have done a lot of creation on our own because we have needed different technology than what existed out there, and we've made a significant investment in that and are getting ready, in fact, this month to roll out a new website that will make making reservations even easier, and we'll continue working on upgrades to that site as we go and into 2010. So also for training, this is a new area for us to really take to a greater degree or extent of technology, and it's just with as few employees as we have, it sure is great to know that we're going to be able to have consistent training that they can take online.
That's amazing. Any numbers on the industry, Gina? I mean, this is a pretty big industry, isn't it?
Oh, boy. You know, probably the most interesting statistics in our industry right now, in just lodging in general for hospitality or hotels, is that the industry has been having a really rough year, and it's not expected to be much better for next year. And, in fact, numbers have been off to the tune of 30% in occupancy. Revenues have been down about as much, and so that's one of the ways that we have been very fortunate with our concept is that we are proving that this concept is, while not, I wouldn't call it recession proof, we're finding that it's fairly depression or recession resistant. Because
have you seen things turning a little bit, Gina Lynn, as far as the economy recently, or as far as higher occupancy or the economy in general?
We are in same-store sales outperforming our same time frame last year, and because the holidays are a big time for us to really watch that, because we tend to have a lot of move-outs right before Thanksgiving, and as you can imagine, the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, people travel less. So we've been very fortunate that a lot of our people stay for a long time, and so they just keep their rooms. But in comparing year over year, we are up a few points over last year, which is very encouraging.
That's fantastic.
My family was an investor in a Residence Inn over
20 years ago.
Yeah, down in South Jersey. And my father really was sold on the suite type concept. which is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Did he work with Jack at all?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm going to ask my father after the show.
Yeah.
If you know, if he knew Jack or had heard of the name,
it's
pretty interesting. And my family is also in the hospitality business. We've owned a motel here in Central Jersey along the shore for many years.
Okay.
So maybe one day I'll just rip the whole building down and put up a value place.
Well, there you go. That sounds great. We would love to have you in our family, so that'd be good. And the closest we have something to you is the one that opened yesterday in Gainesville, Virginia. So that's
okay.
we still have a ways to go.
Right. Okay. Well, good. Yeah, maybe one day I can be the trendsetter here in New Jersey.
There you go.
Yeah. Julian, we have to take a quick break. Are you able to stick around for another segment?
You bet.
That's fantastic. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919. Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the French entrepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Dina Lynn Smith, President of Franchise Services for the Value Place Franchise Opportunity. And Don, I think you're up.
Yeah, Dina Lynn, you spoke before about some of the diversified backgrounds of some of your current franchisees, but are there any specific characteristics you look for? And some of the future franchisees that are going to be coming on?
Yeah, there absolutely are. We do love that entrepreneurial spirit that you can find, because entrepreneurs typically are very success-oriented, And so when that city council says, oh, no, we're not going to approve your site, then they have the, for example, they have the ability to not see that as defeat, but rather to go back and help people understand why Value Place will be an asset to the community. And, you know, there's so many obstacles that you can come up against, and entrepreneurs tend to be able to look past that negative experience and to turn it into a positive. On the other hand, you also have to find the right kind of entrepreneur, because they have to be able to follow a process and a system. So if you get someone who is overly entrepreneurial, then they're going to want to reinvent everything,
right,
and that doesn't work very well for them or for us. So a cultural fit is very important, a cultural fit with our organization and just how they view business in general, how they view Value Place. If someone comes through and says, well, I think we need to add a whole bunch of frills and we need to give away internet and we need to do all these things, then probably they're not the right match. So the interviewing process is very important for us and something we take very seriously, because we look at this as a 20-year marriage. I mean, this is a long-term investment, and we want to really walk down the aisle with those people who are going to enjoy us, and we're going to enjoy them, and work well together.
That's good points.
What is the training like, Gina Lynn, for new franchisees?
Well, you know, most of our properties are not owner-operated, so there are two different types of training that we have. One is for our franchisees, and we call our franchisees strategic partners because of the way we view our relationship with them. And so the strategic partner training is held in Wichita, and it's about 3 days of training in the very beginning to touch on all aspects of the business, from development to operations. And then we also have each of their team members from their company come through that training, and because it's usually done at a company or a corporate level with that group. And then they usually hire a management company or hire someone to come in and be their management company who works in their own office. And then those folks, along with the property managers, come through Property Manager 101, where they learn everything hands-on, how to do each of the positions, how to execute in those roles to be successful, how to manage the labor, how to understand the importance of training when new employees come on board, and to learn all of the intricacies to making the Value Place concept work. So lots of hands-on training, there's shadowing, and there's also some classroom training involved.
Great.
What's a typical day like, if there is such a thing, Gina Lynn, for a franchisee?
For a franchisee, it depends a little bit. They have such diverse backgrounds. The franchisee who spends most of his or her time as a developer, then right now they're probably doing a lot of talking to banks. And y'all were talking about financing and suggesting that as a show topic. I think that's a great idea. There's plenty to talk about financing and the lack thereof right now. But seeking financing would be something they'd be doing, maybe renegotiating land contracts right now because a lot of sellers are coming down on their prices, renegotiating GC contracts for building. And, you know, you can beat about $1 million out of your project cost right now, because we're seeing prices as low as what we saw in 2004 for building Value Places right now. So the developer is going to be spending his or her day that way. The entrepreneurial franchisee who is more of an operator is taking time right now to refine their processes, make sure that their teams are working well, that they're using the best practices. They may be helping to create some best practices, maybe testing some things for us in the field, and just working with their teams who are out there on the front line every day. And the folks who are on the front line, they have very busy days, but they have checklists they can follow from the minute that they get there. And the first thing they do is drive around the property to look at the exterior and how it looks, all the way to what did they do when they shut down the property that night. So a very busy day, but if they stay on task, then it works very well.
Interesting. And the majority of our listeners, Gina Lynn, are aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise. What would you say to those people as far as, like, advice? What would you give them?
I would say that it is critically important that you feel like you have a passion for the franchise and the people who run the franchise. You want to feel like They're people that you want to work with day in and day out, that they're going to be there for you. Do your research to call other franchisees and see. I mean, no franchisor is going to say, oh, we don't offer good service. Everybody's going to tell you, we have great service. And so call other franchisees and perform validation. And if it's a startup concept, if they don't have franchisees that you can call, then do extra homework on the executives of the company and what their backgrounds are, where they've spent their time, and what those companies were like culturally. So I'd recommend that. The other thing is that sometimes we find a concept and we really want to be involved, but our net worth may not be what it needs to be for involvement in that product. Know that most franchisors have really thought through what their minimum net worth requirements are, and there's generally a reason for what it says. And especially in times like these, you don't want to spread yourself too thin or so thin that you end up having an issue operationally and then can't cover that financially. So you want to be able to ride out the tough times. So if you don't have the net worth that franchisor recommends, then get some partners and interview those people the same way you would your franchisor, because it is like entering into a marriage.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah, great advice.
Yeah. What are value plans, what are your plans for the future, Jalen? I mean, how big would Value Place like to get?
Well, you know, we, as a very unique product where we are an apartment hotel hybrid, we meet the needs of so many people in such diverse groups that we have been called in a couple of articles the Walmart of the hotel industry. And what they're referring to is just the appeal to a broad customer base.
Right, right.
What we'd like to do is to continue to grow our franchise system and our company development as well through both existing franchisees and new franchisees as well. And we see that we believe there's a need for about 1,200 Value Places in the United States. And today we're already at 161 brand new properties in about 5 years in the franchise company, which is remarkable. As far as we know, we're the fastest growing hospitality brand in extended stay in history. So that's new construction. So we want to continue growing in a very methodical way, in a very logical way for us and for our franchisees, and continue providing great, consistent lodging experiences for our guests from coast to coast.
That's fantastic. And what's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a Value Place franchisee?
Well, the best thing to do is to go to our website, valueplace.com. And if you go today, make sure you go later this month, too, and see the new website. It's going to be very exciting. But valueplace.com, or they can call directly to our franchise development, where the person who heads that is also named Gina. And that number is 316-631-1312.
That's fantastic.
And I think I've met her, by the way. Gina Lynn, some of the recent franchise shows. I know there was the West Coast Expo in L.A. I think you guys were exhibiting at. So.
Yes, oh, that's great.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you again, Gina Lynn. You've been an incredible guest. I'd like to wish you a happy holiday, and we'd love to have you guys come back next year on the show again.
Oh, thanks so much. We'd love to.
Thanks so much, Gina Lynn. Have a great day.
Happy holidays.
You too. Happy
take
holidays.
Care.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah. Another segment and
another new
category for us. We've never had this on, and it's just very interesting. I love hearing the story on the Walmart of the hotel industry. Interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting, the backgrounds of their franchisees as well. I was curious about that. You know, it's just
right.
It seems like they do have a very diverse background, and I think that adds to a franchise concept when your franchisees come from all different places, you know, and
right.
Diversity. I think it's very important. It's just, it's amazing that they can run it, you know, the whole thing with four to four and a half full-time employees. Isn't that incredible? It just blows your mind.
Really is. Yeah.
You say, how do they do that? But again, they thought everything through, you know, it's incredible. So we've got another great show next week, Don. You did a great job today with your current events and articles going on in franchising, and it's going to be a great month. We have some more great shows.
Yeah, good job to you as well, Marty.
Thanks, Don. And for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, gofranchise.com. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And I'll talk to you next week, Don.
Great. Take care, Marty.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Silver spoon in mouth, success was passed through bloodlines guaranteed. But all the riches in this life without blood.
Carry on.